to the Pajama Party, another Friday night at the Pajama Party. We're here. We're in. I'm one of your hosts, Papa Didi. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And Red Wine.
Bonsoir.
They're throwing pencils at me now because they finally have an alibi to, you know, jump in my ass for a change. Anyway.
Not you, Papa.
This is a late night, Friday night talk show, and we're here putting it down as usual. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Kelly, you want to give us a rundown on the topics for tonight?
Sure thing, sure thing. Hot topics tonight, we got more trouble at Trump rally. Women loses custody of embryos. You got one over there too, Papa. The intern didn't give me that one.
I got the Harvard story where they defaced it, the different pictures of the African-American professors and of that nature, things like that.
Okay, we'll get into that. Our hit it and quit it headlines, fire at the Hancock skyscraper, that's in Chicago. Snoop Dogg gives back to Inglewood. Texas boy gives back to Moth. What's Poppin' with Papa Didi? 50 Shades of Grey. That should be interesting. Weird news. Mayor pays $4,000 fines with coins. Armed couple gets upper hand on burglar. And cheating allegations in the Mr. Ugly contest? Okay. I'm just saying, with red wine, it's Black Friday. Living for the City with Papa Didi, Cam Newton, my Hollywood wrap-up. We have an interesting cocktail of the week called LaMela, our kiss it list, and also the last word. Sit back, relax, get your favorite cocktail, and we'll be right back with the hot topics.
And I know it'll be the death of me, at least we'll both be new. And you'll always get the best of me, the worst is yet to come. And at least we'll both be beautiful, stay forever young. This I know, this I know.
Welcome back to the Pajama Party. I'm one of your hosts, Papa Didi. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And Red Wine.
Bonsoir.
All right. Mm-hmm. Another Friday night at the Pajama Party, a late night talk show. We're going to go first with our hot topics. What's going on? Let's see here.
All right. I'm first up.
You first up here.
I'm first up to the mic. Let me step up to the mic. Okay, your boy Donald Trump.
Your boy.
He's been at it again.
Okay. Here we go.
Yeah. Okay, so recently at a rally in Birmingham, of all places,
Alabama?
Birmingham, Alabama, Donald Trump said that a protester who interrupted his rally at a convention center was so obnoxious and loud that maybe he needed to have been roughed up, because that's what happened to the brother. This brother, Mr. Southall, I'm not sure how you pronounce his first name. I think it's Mercutio, M-E-R-C-U-T-I-O, Southall Jr. He's a well-known local activist who had been repeatedly arrested while fighting what he said is unfair treatment of blacks. He interrupted Trump's rally shouting Black Lives Matter. And after that, a fight broke out, prompting Trump to briefly halt his remarks and demand the removal of Mr. Southall. Trump said, "Get him the hell out of here, will you please? Get him out of here, throw him out." That's what Mr. Trump said.
So at one point, Southall fell to the ground and was surrounded by several white men who appeared to be kicking and punching him, according to the video that was on CNN's website.
Mm.
You could see the people kicking and punching this man.
Mm.
A Washington Post reporter who was in the crowd saw one of the men put their hands on Mr. Southall's neck and heard a female onlooker repeatedly shouting, "Don't choke him." So that's how crazy the situation was getting. Now, instead of Trump trying to defuse the situation, he comes out and says, well, maybe he needed to be roughed up because it was absolutely disgusting what he was doing, and he was just being loud and obnoxious. So the problem that I have, or the concern I have, is that to me, if you're going to get up there and be a public servant, which is the job he's going after, he's going to have to learn how to defuse these kind of situations, not throw gasoline on a lit match. Now, this man was being hit and kicked by the people that were there to support Mr. Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And security was, like, trying to kind of hold off the crowd. They were hitting this man, punching the man, kicking the man.
Wow.
And Trump's remarks are, get him the hell out of here.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because he's being loud and obnoxious. And then Trump went on to make a comparison talking about when Bernie Sanders' rally got interrupted by some of the women from the Black Lives Matter movement.
Mm-hmm.
Trump got up there and said, okay, well, remember Bernie Sanders and what happened? That's not going to happen with me. It's definitely not going to happen. He said two women came up to the podium and they took over his mic. I promise you, that is not going to happen with me. I promise you, never going to happen, not going to happen. Can't let that stuff happen. Quote.
Mm.
That's what Mr. Trump said.
Wow.
And before the fight broke out, he had just warned the audience about Islamic State fighters that might recruit these people's children online and called for a wall to be built along the southern border, to which the crowd started chanting, build a wall, build a wall, build a wall. And this speech went on for like an hour. He gave details in graphic detail about killings committed by people who had entered the country illegally, and he promised to bar Syrian refugees from living in the United States because they might be terrorists, and he called for heavy surveillance of certain mosques.
Mm, wow.
And this is the man who wants to be president, not just of his supporters, but of the entire United States.
I hope that.
I'm concerned. Is it just me? I'm concerned.
Mm. What do you think, Papa?
You know, Trump used to be my boy.
Mm. You putting him down already?
Hell yeah. Anytime you slamming a brother, because, you know, you're going to need that black vote to win. And, you know, all these polls of who's leading or whatever, we can't tell what the polls really are until people go inside the polls and start voting. That's when you know what's happening with what. Once people actually cast a vote. I actually think that Rubio's going to win the nomination.
You think so?
Of course, of course, because he's cooled out. And I'm hoping that the governor from Maryland, wins the Democrat election. What's his name?
O'Malley.
O'Malley, of course, that's my main man.
Oh.
My main man. You know, because all this stuff with Hillary and the other boy, Bernie Sanders, you know, it's just getting to the point where everybody is just, I'm just skeptical of people over 50 years old, you know, running for office anymore, unless you're Barack Obama, of course, you know, and Barack was younger than 50,
but these people
ain't cool like Barack, and people got a tough act to follow when it comes to Barack. He was laid back, straight up. And all this barbaric stuff, and then they down in Alabama. Hello, same old place. Remember Alabama? You know Alabama? Where Martin Luther King said that God has not yet turned his world over to Governor Wallace.
All right.
Okay, that's what Martin Luther King said, a quote from him. He said, we're going to win back this situation with this civil rights because God has not yet turned his world over to Governor Wallace.
Wow.
And that's the same damn town doing the same old thing. And it's a mess, you know, and he's down there supporting it. And we, he know he ain't nothing but a Jersey boy.
Mm-hmm.
But get your ass back to Atlantic City, if you know, like I know, boy.
Mm-hmm. He's already in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to take over that whole block down in Constitution Avenue.
Yeah, well, he thinks he's going to take over everything. But you know what? He's over 50 years old, too. And he need to be worried about his health. His colon and his kidneys and his liver and everything else has got to do with life and living and the pursuit of happiness. So you need to worry about that because, you know, we live and we die.
What about that hair?
Please, who knows what the hell that is?
I think Donald's happy within his own world, and that's what he's in.
Yeah, you know, he used to be my boy, but now I'm at the casting to the side because choking a brother like that in the confound. Now, what if the guy would have died? Because, you know, it's easy to die, you know? What if he would have died?
I hope that brother sued him.
Choked the guy. Well, see, Trump is not worried about being sued. When you're a billionaire,
yeah, he
ain't worried about being
sued. That's okay.
He ain't worried about being sued.
I still hope the brother
sues him.
Yeah.
Sue him for what?
Just to make a point.
Physical harassment.
Right.
And to make a point.
Man,
yeah,
well,
to make a point. Like I said, on GP alone.
This lady sued crazy-ass Patti LaBelle, hitting her in the head with a pot. She threw a pot out the condo into a lady, hit her.
Mm-hmm.
$300,000 that she paid.
Yeah.
Yeah, small potatoes of her.
Yeah, but it wasn't to that lady who got it.
Mm-mm. All right.
Let's keep it moving.
Okay, I have one here. San Francisco woman sought to have embryos preserved loses legal case. Well, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
A judge ruled that the frozen embryos of a divorced San Francisco couple must be thawed and destroyed despite the ex-wife's desire over her former husband's objections to use them to become pregnant.
Hmm.
So, a decision by a Supreme Court judge... the decision of the Supreme Court Judge Ann Christie clarifies in an era of emerging reproductive technologies what happens to frozen embryos in California when one person in a dispute wants them and the other does not. The judge said the directive signed by the couple, the directives signed by the couple, so let's consider a contract, agreeing that the embryos be thawed and discarded in the event of a divorce must be respected. That's kind of rough.
That's really rough.
Yeah. What's your opinion on that, Red One? What do you think about that? Uh-oh.
I just think that's rough. You know, I understand that if they, you know, well, you can put your little violin away. But I understand that if they had an agreement that said, in the event, you know, our marriage doesn't make it and we already have these embryos frozen,
mm-hmm.
that we agree we're going to destroy them.
Right.
But I just feel like, first of all, I think that was a messed up agreement to make. Because you're saying, okay, we agree that we're going to set up a situation to create life, but if we don't make it, we're going to kill the life.
Mm-hmm.
That's rough.
Yeah.
So to me, I'm thinking if it were me and I were in a situation to do something like that,
mm-hmm.
I would rather have signed an agreement that said if either party decides that they don't want any possession of it, that the other party can have possession with no financial burden on the other party.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if I decide I want to have the children,
right.
then he doesn't have to have any child support, none of that, no responsibility. And I'm giving him a waiver, or if it's the other way around.
Okay.
If he wants to do a surrogate situation, then I can say, all right, that's on you. I don't want anything to do with it.
Okay, I'm going
to
come back on you.
Mm.
What if the court says, because the agreement of what they talked about and the wife wants the embryo,
mm-hmm.
and the court says, okay, the husband, you're still liable.
But if we already had an agreement saying that he would not be liable, then the court shouldn't override that.
But the court may decide to take over in this particular case and say you're liable because this is a contract, this is what you said. The wife wants something different. The husband wants something different. But the court overrides and say, look, you're liable because you're the baby daddy.
Ooh. Well, that's when it's time to go get a good lawyer and you fight it.
Okay. Okay.
I still think she needs to appeal that. I mean, I get it. She signed an agreement. I
right.
think that was a bad agreement, which
right.
clearly now she's changed her mind.
Well,
I think she needs to get a different attorney and fight it. I don't care if it was the Supreme Court. Fight it.
Maybe on the other hand, her lawyer could say, okay, she was under duress.
There you go.
Could
maybe
be.
Maybe sign it.
Mm-hmm.
I was all stressed out. He had me all juked up on happy juice at the time,
uh-huh.
and I didn't think anything would go wrong.
Uh-huh.
And then he turned out to be a nut, and now we got to get a divorce.
So,
but
so
I
you
want
think,
my babies.
So can I put my 2 cents in?
Sure. Come on, Pop.
So you think that to make jokes like that or to say things that ladies do say or women do say, that's no joke. I mean, first of all, if you're done with your relationship, you're done with the whole situation. And Kettle is saying, you know, once you made an agreement in the court and it becomes a court order, you have to live with that. You knew that well in advance. You don't just change your mind on the back end.
People you change their mind every day.
Women change their mind every day.
People change
okay?
their mind every day.
All right, okay. Well, like I said, ladies change their mind every day. They think that's an inevitable right being a female. But you know what? We have to stick to what the... If you're not involved with this person anymore, why would you deal with something with this person that has to do with reproduction? Who's going to take
because
care of the child?
Part of it is hers, too.
But you know what, honey?
It wasn't about just saying, I want his sperm.
You know what?
These are embryos. An embryo took an egg and a sperm to create an embryo.
Without his sperm, how is reproduction made?
It's no reproduction without a sperm.
Don't let the dildo fool you.
There is no reproduction.
The dildo does not... The dildo does not shoot out silly putty, honey. So
like
you know,
I said,
red wine.
There is no reproduction without
red wine.
Sperm.
Okay.
I don't know what. Mm,
all right.
What.
You know what?
Like I said.
Well, you know, there's.
She changed her mind, and why can't she just change her mind?
Well, you know, the changing the mind thing, it seems to be an inevitable right of people that want to act like they want to change their mind based on the emotions of hell knows no fury as a woman scorned. But we got to back off of that, you know.
But the article
I am
didn't say the
done
woman was
with
scorned.
You. I'm
what
done
is
with
she's
the relationship.
Concerned about she's getting beyond an age
you
where
know
it's
what?
Easy for her to reproduce.
Well, that's got nothing to do
and
with his sperm
her
cell.
The opportunity.
I
and she
think
wants to use
you know what?
The embryo that they already had created in front.
But it belonged to him. Get somebody else's.
It belongs to both of them.
But get somebody else's.
But it belonged to both of them.
You know what I think you should
once
do?
Once those eggs are frozen, it's not about
I
just
think
go
those
get
embryos
else.
Should be flushed down the toilet like I do a goldfish when he
you
dies
know
in a fish
you
bowl.
Don't go to Walmart and buy sperm, eggs,
then find
and embryos.
Another Johnson and choke
but
that
I'm
chicken.
But I'm saying, if she's having reproductive issues, then
that's
not
her
all
problem. That's her problem.
Exactly, and she's trying to resolve her problem
but she's
by
divorcing
saying,
the man now.
But check this out.
She's
what?
Divorcing the man.
Right.
What if they had the little, what they call it, addendum or something that they...
Amendment?
Amendment.
Right.
And if it's two or four embryos, okay, two of mine and two of yours. If you want to destroy your two, you go right ahead. But I'm going to keep mine, and like you said, rewind,
I'm all
you're not liable. So that kind of puts everything in the middle. But you know what? There's another high-profile case on that.
I would knock your ass over and say, oops. Okay.
The
And I'd have you locked up.
Remember the actress Vergara? Her ex-boyfriend.
Oh, right. So
right, right. That's going on. That's probably still going on.
It's still going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that should be interesting
and
on that case.
Saying that, now, like you said, with her, if she found a new boo and she did do anything, then they should go ahead and, you know what I mean? What, if she meet somebody shooting blanks or something? I mean, come on, just find you another trigger man.
She just wants to keep her embryo.
Find you another trigger man.
I'm just saying, some women have difficulty conceiving, and that's why many of them freeze their
well,
eggs in
yeah,
the first
but
place.
Well, yeah, but conceiving
so
is one thing.
So that when they decide later
okay,
on, okay,
we,
now
we have
I'm ready.
We have to
move
on.
We're going to push on. What
yeah,
you got
we have to
involved?
Move on.
That's
you
a
know.
Sticky situation. You guys
yeah,
have
sticky,
questions.
Yeah, that's
like
very
this stuff is used.
Oh, here we go.
That's sticky like the stuff that's used to make children. Anyway.
Yeah.
Hit us up tonight if you got any questions or comments we've been talking about.
That's right. 914-803-4306. And let's neutralize Red Wine because she's getting emotional like the typical female.
What you got, Papa?
I got black professors whose portrait was defaced at Harvard. This will let you know that racism is still alive and well. And here we go. Let me read this a little bit. Cambridge, Massachusetts, the home of Harvard University. The police are investigating a possible hate crime, a definite hate crime, at the law school after someone covered portraits of black faculty members, old, new, current, in tape. Just covered their faces. Now, you can't tell me with all the money that school has that there's no surveillance cameras in that area. That's a bunch of bullshitty, okay?
What a bunch of crap.
Okay, I know there's cameras there. But see, they see the people that did it, and you look at their persuasion or their racial, you know, ethnicity, and say, wow, we can't turn that in because, you know what I mean? So anyway, some photos housing what's called the Wistein Hall of the Cambridge, Massachusetts campus, where the face was strips of black tape over the actual African-American current teachers, past teachers, and things of this nature of the law school. And this is a very prestige school where, you know, if you were privileged enough, I don't even know if it's a privilege anymore now, being the fact they got a bunch of renegade racist people work running around up there. So is it a privilege to be at Harvard? I mean, don't let the name fool you. I mean, what's the difference between Maxwell House and Folgers? I mean, you know, as long as it's good coffee, I don't give a shit who makes it. Anyway, so when we get into these different names of schools and prestige based on what have you, this is what brings it to light. And I guess people consider that a privilege of working there. But now that people are defacing things and showing their true colors, does a real strong, dedicated black law professor, whether male or female, want to teach at that school anymore? They should reconsider their resume, whether or not they want to go to the school, because it may be prestige on your resume, but you know, the school is full of crap. Play that crap thing again. School is full of crap. You know, I just don't like it. I mean, I'm not making jokes about it, but, you know, all these little renegade people running around defacing stuff, you know, I mean, we know who's doing that. We know exactly who's doing that. And it's not no really off-the-top radical people. It's, you know, it's Jeff and Hazel's baby boy. That's who it is. It's the son of my three sons. It's the, you know, every other old thing on, what's that old thing on TV? TV Land. All the little, you know, Harriet and, you know.
Ozzie and Harry.
Ozzie and Harry is a baby boy. That's who's doing it. Anyway, that's all I got to say about that. Let's move on. Wow. We're keeping it moving tonight.
Are we dropping mics already?
Dropping mics. In other news tonight, the something I'm familiar with because I frequent this town a lot, which is Chicago. Ooh. They had a big fire over at the John Hancock building, which is the one that that looks like the Sears Tower, but it's not the Sears Tower. The Sears Tower is where you get that long line of people going up there to do the pictures and everything. The John Hancock building is the one that's on Michigan Avenue down toward the end of the Magnificent Mile. It's over there near the Drake Hotel, which is over by the beach. The other building looks like it. It has the black stripes in the building, a big black building. At the bottom of that building, there's a place called the Cheese Factory, which is huge. Or as Trump says, huge. It's huge. And it's called the John Hancock Building. It's on Michigan Avenue. The other Sears Tower, which is now called the Willis Tower, that's on the other side of town. That's mostly in the downtown area. But they had a big fire over there. Authorities say that a fire that broke out about halfway up the John Hancock Building, one of Chicago's tallest skyscrapers, was had been put out. Five people were injured. Flames and thick black smoke poured into the east side window of the 50th floor Saturday. Mm-hmm. Authorities said that the fire did not leave the residents in the union gutted out, but it just caused a lot of inconvenience. But people live in that building, too. You know, rich folks who, you know, got nothing else to do but live in a damn skyscraper. Anyway, so everything is under control at this point. But like I said, the John Hancock Building is over on the more Michigan Avenue side of Chicago, not to be confused with the Willis Tower, which is previously called the Sears Tower, which is the main one that you go up in when you want to be romantic and all that jazz. You want to take your little honey up there and check out the city. Mm-hmm. You go to the Sears Tower. John Hancock Building is just, it's apartments now. Mm-hmm. It's
that's
for
where
richer.
People go to sign embryo agreements.
You know what? See, red wine with these embryos. You know what?
Anyway.
I had to get you.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. What else you got over there, Kev?
Got to get red wine, a young stud.
So, on the story, Papa, did they say how it started, the fire?
You know what? There's no report of how it actually started.
Might have been somebody smoking some weed.
Yeah, you never know.
Might have dropped something.
You got a lady named Mary Mello. She lives in the building where the fire began. She says she noticed a strange smell and then opened up her front door to find smoke filling the hallway.
Wow.
I went into the hallway And there was another neighbor who smelled smoke and said the elevator didn't work. Well, why would you, don't you want to get the stairs anyway? Thank goodness the elevator didn't work.
It was on the 50th floor, so.
Yeah.
Well, you're going down.
Elevator,
you're going down.
They're supposed to go down.
Okay, but anyway, the first thing she can notice is the elevator not working. Honey, it's a fire, okay?
Yeah.
Use the stairs. There's signs posted everywhere. Anyway, but it seems to me that the Hancock Building has become a residential, like an apartment for the elite.
I didn't realize people live there.
Oh, yes, of course. Everybody's not broke like you, Red Wine.
Well,
some people do, in fact, have money.
I figured everybody was broke.
No. People do, in fact, have
money.
They have money. Yes, they do.
Look at the Donald Trumps as well.
Yes, they do.
Well,
they're not broke like you.
But I didn't know everybody else had money. I'm the only one broke.
You broke as a church mouse, honey.
That's not fair.
All right. Well, let's see who's not broke. Snoop Dogg.
Your boy.
Oh, he's got money. Maybe he was in the building.
Here we go.
They said, check this out. He helped deliver 1,500 turkeys in Inglewood, California. This is second year. The last year, he helped with 800 turkeys. They delivered 1,500 this time. Mayor James Butt tells the KNBC TV.
Butt tells?
Yep. James Butt.
How do you survive with that?
Oh,
name?
Wait a minute. His name is Butt.
Yes.
Oh.
He tells.
Oh, I thought you put the tail at the end of the butt
that
there, Kettle.
Join him to give away in turkeys indoor arena, and that took pictures with hundreds of people.
So was Snoop giving away the turkeys?
He was just there, just helping, passing them out. And then he was, people were clicking with him. Just crazy. But check this out. He said he was late. Why he was late, the rapper joked with the crowd that Santa wanted to chat, keeping him from arriving on time.
He ran into Santa?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who wanted to chat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he was late.
Yep.
To help distribute the turkeys that he did not buy.
No, don't go there.
No, he didn't.
He's
buy
a
them.
Big. He's a big contributor. Don't go there.
No, but he didn't
try to understand.
No, he did not.
Okay.
He
didn't
contribute.
Well, but
I'm
sure I've heard in the past years that he's been,
But that's what I was asking.
Right.
He didn't contribute them. He was just there helping the mayor hand them out.
Yeah, but we don't know. I mean, Snoop.
It says Snoop Dogg went on to tell the crowd he's going to be participating in the turkey giveaway every year from now on.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say that he gave.
And he's probably setting up a Christmas thing, too, because he has been giving out toys and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So let's not diss him. Because
I'm not dissing him. I was asking a question.
Yeah.
Was he contributing or he was helping to distribute?
We're
that's
in D.C. and that's going on to California. And
I'm not dissing your boy.
Well, you worry about the embryos anyway. So anyway, well, how you doing?
Anyway, I got one last hit it and quit it.
Okay.
Did you hear about this little boy in Texas? This is one of those little, it gets you right there in the heart with some of us. Texas boy emptied his little piggy bank to help a mosque because he said all faith is important.
Hmm.
Now, after vandals had splattered this mosque with feces and torn pages of the Quran, this little boy went in his piggy bank savings account to lend a hand with the repairs.
Aww.
He's 7 years old. His name is Jack Swanson, and he does not attend the Islamic Center of Pflugerville, which is in Austin, Texas, in the suburbs of Austin, but he wanted to just try to do something to help with the cleanup.
Mm.
So he showed up with his mother, and the cruise had already finished, so he decided to offer the $20 he had in his piggy bank to help with the cleanup effort. And he was, just trying to help out.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it's $20, but it's all that he had. And he said he was giving this in the hopes that it would be, an example to others. And his mother said that her son was compelled to step up surrounding how important places of worship are. Oh, that he was saying it was important to help with important places of worship for everyone, regardless of their beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
He said, who said this? It's disgusting and gross, and it doesn't matter what you believe or what anybody else believes, and that all faith is important. So shout out to little Jack Swanson for helping out and doing what he thought was the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate that.
All right now, $20, huh?
He gave all he had, his little $20 in his little piggy bank.
Aww. That's nice.
Good job, Jack.
Little Jack Spratt.
Jack Swanson, not Spratt.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
You're right.
All right, we're going to take a little CC break, and we're going to come back with What's Poppin' with Papa Didi. Yeah,
girl,
lots of
what are you using on your skin? And your hair looks so thick and beautiful.
I've got a secret.
I know you're going to share it with your girl.
Well, just between you and me, I found a new product that makes my skin glow and my hair fabulous, too. It's bull semen.
No bull. Stop playing.
For real. Bull semen gives me this glow and keeps my skin nice and soft and feeling good.
Where in the world did you get bull semen?
From a bull, of course, but only my distributor knows for sure. I can hook you up. Check it out.
Bull semen is great for your hair, nails, skin, and everywhere else where it doesn't feel right. Just warm the tube of bull semen. Put on some Barry White music. Massage the tube using slow circular motions. And when the semen comes out of the tube, put some in your hair, on your nails, on your skin, and wherever you want. Before you know it, you'll be glowing. Your hair will be growing, and your friends will want to be knowing.
I'm ordering my tube of bull semen today.
Order two. I'm almost out.
Bull semen. Do not use internally, or pregnancy could occur. And we're not responsible for that. Order yours today. And that's no bull.
And we're back Friday night on the Pajama Party Show. This is Red Wine. Bonsoir. I'm here with Cattle.
Hello.
And Papa Didi.
What's going on?
And now that you mention it, what's popping, Papa Didi?
What's popping tonight with me? I was sitting around the other night, chilling, you know, on a couch like my man Bundy from what's that? Married with Children.
Mm-hmm.
Had my hand down in my crotch.
Oh gosh.
And
that's right.
And I'm watching the movie Shades of Grey, 50 Shades of Grey. Now, what gets me about this movie is that I don't understand why they depicted this movie with so much sexual stuff when that movie was very far from that. I mean, that was the overtone of his desire, Mr. Grey. Mr. Grey was a young billionaire who owned a business and everything with a rich family and what have you. And he had a desire of bondage and S&M and all that jazz. And he finally found somebody that he could put in that particular situation. But the story wasn't built around that. He kept trying to get her a contract to sign saying she was willing to do that because he was a billionaire. He didn't want to get sued. But the story had a great storyline otherwise. You know, it talked about a young college girl trying to make it who met a billionaire guy, which is not a stretch. You know, you like who you like. And it just went on about different things concerning her life and how she wasn't giving in to stuff, how she wasn't dealing with stuff, and she had her own emotional level, just like a typical person would be and everything like that. So I say all that to say that all this sexual stuff that they put on this movie and what the sexual aspects and all the, I mean, they just advertised it like it was just a hush-hush, secret, you know, and I guess the people that are sexually oppressed fell for that particular trap, but the movie wasn't that deep like that, you know what I mean? It was a regular movie. It was rated R. You know, when you got an R-rated movie, you're going to see some nipples, you're going to see some booty. You ain't going to see no vagina, you sure ain't going to see no penis. You know, you got to judge the movie based on its ratings, you know. It wasn't NC-17, it was R. So R, like I said, R, you get nipples and you get a little ass. But you don't get no vajayjay and you sure don't get no Johnson. So it wasn't no Johnson shown, and it wasn't no vajayjay shown. So, you know. It has a good storyline and things like that. So if you haven't seen the movie, go see the movie because it's, you know, it's not a bad flick. It's got a good storyline. It's not all smothered with sex like people think it is. I don't know why they promoted it in that direction, but that's just my little what's popping tonight, the fact that they promoted it the wrong. That's why it's on HBO now, because they promoted it the wrong way. So.
Okay. They show it in its entirety?
Yeah, and it's tired.
Nothing was cut, huh?
Nothing was cut. Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. All right, now.
Yeah,
well, maybe I'll watch it then, because I was, like, really not interested.
Mm-hmm.
Based and on the promos.
The girl that stars in here, that's Melody Griffin's daughter.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Melanie and Don Johnson.
She's a great actress. I mean, her titties like a little starter set, you know. But she's all right otherwise.
Oh, they showed that, huh?
Oh, yeah, they showed her breasts big time.
They didn't cut nothing.
Man, she got a little starter set.
All right, we're going to keep it moving.
Keep it moving.
Okay. All right. Well, I got to see. We got some weird news tonight.
Yeah.
Mayor pays $4,000 fine in coins. That's a lot of coins. Mayor tries to pay $4,000 fine with coins. Talk about some loose change. A Miami area mayor who was feuding with his local commission tried to use 360,000 pennies and nickels. That's about 28 buckets full of coins to pay a $4,000 ethics fine.
Wow.
Instead of accepting the change, the ethics commission doubled the fine.
What?
On Mayor Carlos Hernandez, saying he intentionally broke the rules because he knew the panel only accepted checks. And now the Miami-Dade Commission on the Ethics and Public Trust is suing the mayor. The commission ruled in July that Hernandez lied about interest rates on a $180,000 loan to a jewelry salesman now jailed for a pyramid scheme. Sounds like a lot going on.
That is a lot. So it was 28 buckets of coin.
Yes.
And they told him, okay, you're trying us now.
Uh-huh.
Coming in here with all those coins.
Yeah.
So now we're going to double the fine.
Wow.
So what if he came back with 56 buckets?
He told me he called his complaint against him a political circus and described commission members as clowns.
All right.
Oh, that is funny. They doubled the fine on homeboy. They said, okay. Oh, God. What you got over there, Papa?
I got a story here, another weird news where Albuquerque, New Mexico, an Albuquerque couple turned the tables on a burglar. They caught him loading their belongings into his car. All right, the Albuquerque police spokesman, whose name was Tanner Texer, said the officers were called about a possible burglary on Thursday. What they found was a 70-year-old man and his 66-year-old wife, both pointing guns at this 26-year-old guy. His name was Aaron Luan. All right. Now, the police spokesman Texan said the husband observed Luan putting a generator and power tools and other items into his SUV from the assailant's house.
So he was just going to clean them out.
Wow. He said the man said that he confronted Luan, but he ignored him. The husband then grabbed his shotgun while his wife grabbed her handgun, and they both held Luan at gunpoint until authorities arrived. No one was injured.
Wow.
Texan said Luan had just been released from jail earlier in that day. Now, he going to rob a joker fresh out of jail.
That's a shame.
But he don't realize that the world has changed since he hasn't been in jail.
Yeah.
And folks have guns now.
For sure.
All right?
So he figured these two older people would be easy targets. He was just going to get their stuff. And then when they're telling him, like, look, excuse me, that's my stuff. Put my stuff back. He's just going to ignore them, like, whatever, old man.
Yeah.
And keep on, and then when he went and got that shotgun, I guess he looked up like, oh, no, he did. And then here comes his wife with a handgun, clocked that guy. I guess he said, okay, wait a minute.
Sound like Bonnie and Clyde to me.
Hey, I didn't know they wrote like that in Albuquerque.
Wow.
Well, I've got one way over on the motherland in the continent of Africa, over in Zimbabwe. There was a cheating accusation at the Mr. Ugly contest.
Say what?
The Mr. Ugly contest. Apparently, there were some shenanigans going on with the pageant judges. They crowned a new winner of their fourth annual. They've done this for 4 years now. The fourth annual Mr. Ugly contest. And it upset the supporters of all the crowd favorites people because this guy thought he was a shoo-in. He's been the winner for the last three, and he figured, I got this. And then this dude shows up looking crazy with missing teeth, making faces and whatnot. He won, and all of the other guys' supporters started hollering, foul, you're cheating, we're not going for it. They bum-rushed the judges, a riot broke out, all of this over an ugly pageant. So this man who won before, he was saying, look, I'm naturally ugly. This other guy is not. He's only he's only ugly when he opens his mouth.
Wow.
But I'm naturally ugly. And I should have won.
So what was the prize money?
The prize was $500.
Oh, and the plot thickens. That's
so he was mad because he felt like that $500 is my money.
Mr. Ugly, huh?
Mr. Ugly. So he said they should just accept that I'm uglier than him, and I should get the money. I should get the TV contract if there is one. And he complained. His supporters complained. And he was saying looks are God-given. We should all be proud of who we are no matter how ugly. I want my prize.
He didn't already spent that daggone money. That's what that was.
Hey, he said, look, I'm the ugliest one up in here, and I need my prize. And this is over in Zimbabwe.
Never heard.
He said this year's competition attracted a record number of 36 entries compared to just 5 in 2012.
And these are black folks.
These are black people in Zimbabwe.
Okay.
There were 5 entries in 2012. This year they had 36 people who were in this pageant. It's a pageant. They got a catwalk and everything. But when this toothless man showed up and was making all these horrible faces, they said, okay, he's the winner. And the other man said, this is some bush. I want my $500.
See?
Can you believe a riot broke out?
That's crazy.
Well, that's how they rolling.
I see. Wow, that's crazy.
Whew.
Frank, keep it moving.
Yeah, that's why they call it weird news.
Keep it moving.
Well,
keep it moving.
Okay, so I'm just saying, tonight, since it's Black Friday, I want to talk about Black Friday. Give you some history
on
Black Friday. Okay, so for millions of people, Black Friday is a time to do some serious shopping for the holidays, even before the last of the Thanksgiving leftovers are gone. Black Friday is the Friday after Thanksgiving, and it's one of the major holidays for shopping in the United States. Even though it's not recognized as an official U.S. holiday, many employers do allow their employees to take off, with the exception of those that are unfortunate enough to work in retail. They have to be there to crack a dawn to prepare for the Black Friday shoppers. The term Black Friday originated in the 1960s to mark the kickoff to the Christmas shopping season. The black part of it refers to the stores that were moving from the red to the black, and this goes back to when accounting records were kept by hand, and the red ink indicated a loss, and the black ink indicated a profit. Now, going back into the 1960s, the police in Philadelphia used to complain about the congestion in the streets that were clogged with motorists and pedestrians, and they're the ones who actually started calling it Black Friday. So that credit goes to the police up in Philly. And that had nothing to do with the retail. It just had to do with all the craziness of people coming out the day after Thanksgiving. Now, in a non-retail sense, it also described the financial crisis going back to 1869 when the stock market catastrophe was set off by gold spectators who tried and failed to corner the gold market, which caused the market to collapse. So as retailers started realizing they could get big crowds by discounting prices, it started to grow more and more. And of course, you know, the most popular things that people look for typically are electronics and whatever the popular toys are. So Black Friday can be a very long and tedious day, with a lot of the retailers opening at 5 a.m. or even earlier. And you got hordes of people out there waiting to get in the stores. Some of them even have the audacity to start on Thanksgiving Day, and shame on them. Now, you got a lot of people that do their shopping online to avoid all that craziness of being in the malls and stores, because it's a jungle out there. Did you know that there are stores like, for example, Walmart? They have to bring in extra security just to handle the fights that go on Black Friday. If you look online, you'll find hashtags that say things like hashtag Walmart fights, hashtag Black Friday stampede. I mean, it's crazy. So I'm just saying, and now I'm going to confess, here's what I used to do. And I'm saying used to as in the past. I used to check online and get all the items I wanted, make my notes, I would get my team together, and I had a team, and we would have assignments for each person had to know what they were going to get. We would stay up all night long after Thanksgiving dinner, and then we would go out and get to the store at like about 3 or 4 hours before they open, camp out in the parking lot. If it was cold, we would have our thermos. We would have our snacks. We would put one person out in the line because it would be a line. If 3, 4 hours before the store opened, one person in line, the rest of us are in the car, taking turns, tag teaming, and we would wait for them to that employee. I felt bad for that employee because when they opened that door, they got bum rushed, trampled, knocked over, punched, kicked, scratched, everything. And I was in the mix. Me and my team, we would go rushing in the store, and everybody had an assignment. They knew what they were supposed to get. We know where it was in the store, and we would take off running. It was like some kind of race going on. We would tear through that store. We wouldn't even get a cart because that would slow you down. You get a basket, now you got to maneuver with all of the baskets. If you're on foot with no basket, you can get past people, excuse me, squeeze by people, keep it moving. We would get our stuff, grab it, run to the front, pay for it, and then we were on to the next store to start all over again. Now, that was some organized insanity, but that was what we used to do. And I'm saying used to because I can't do that stuff anymore. But I'm just saying, how crazy was that? And after all those years, I had to get like B.B. King and say, the thrill is gone. After getting banged up, cut up, bruised up, hit with baskets, people fighting and shoving, I got cut on shelves that were falling apart, people snatched stuff out of my hands, people want to fight you. It was crazy. And I finally said, you know what? I'm going to shop online. If I wanted something, I'm going to get it online. I can't do it. Of course, now you got to worry about people stealing stuff off your porch when they deliver your stuff if you're not home. But that's a whole other issue. We talk about that another time. So anyway, I just hope you all enjoyed your holidays and you got out there and did your Black Friday shopping. Hopefully you didn't get hurt and you didn't hurt anybody. So just take it easy out there. And just remember, don't buy it all. Leave some for somebody else. This is Red Wine, and I'm just saying.
What you mean, Red Wine? I can't do it no more.
Girl, it's a jungle out there. Folk will black your eye trying to get that latest toy.
It's going to be Black Friday for sure, huh?
I'm telling you.
Folk used to be you, though, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why I said, I confess, I used to be out there. I didn't hurt anybody. But if they hit me.
Not that you know of.
No, I'd be throwing bows, but I didn't punch anybody. Mm-hmm. But I would put my arms up and move through the crowd. But anyway, what's living for the city tonight?
You know, let's talk about Cam Newton. Cam Newton is the quarterback of the Carolina Panthers, who is having a fantastic year. My main man. He's got a dance that everybody's perpetrating online right now. It's going viral and it's trending, as they say, in the social media world. It's trending. He opens up his chest like he's Superman. He folds his arm, he folds his elbow, and he dips his head down. And that's called a Cam Newton little dance there. But what people have failed to realize is that every time the Carolina Panthers score a touchdown, they give a football to a child in the audience. And the children even come down behind the goal line, whether they're at an away game or a home game, to get that football. And without fail, whenever they score, whoever scores a touchdown, whether they do it themselves or get a ball to Cam, Cam goes up in the audience and gives them a football. Now, Tom Brady doesn't do this. But I have not heard no ESPN or nobody talk about Tom Brady giving kids footballs. Nobody mentions this. And if you watch football, if you watch it today, where they pulverize the who are they playing today? Well, not today, but recently. Let's not say today. I'm speaking today, but recently they played the Washington Redskins last week, and it was pulverized them. I think it was 40 to something.
Yeah, I think it was.
44 to 17. Scored four touchdowns, and every touchdown they gave a kid to the child. I just want to put that out there because, you know, there's going to be an MVP vote, and the New England Patriots are also undefeated, but they'll give it to Tom Brady because that's what society calls for. You know, Tom Brady is married to a supermodel. He's an Anglo man. whatever. You know what I mean? But Cam Newton, brother, you're doing your thing. You're winning. You're on top of your game. You're giving footballs to kids. You got your little dance, your little thing going on. And you beat the hell out of those Redskins, 44-16. Lord have mercy, pulverize them. And that's all I want to put out there, the fact that Cam Newton, watch out for that name, because hopefully the brother win the Super Bowl this year. Cam Newton. Sorry about that, Redskins. You did get your ass whooped.
Oh, well. We're going to keep it moving. I got the Hollywood wrap-up tonight.
Oh, what's happening out in La La Land?
Well, well, well. Monica Tanya Mirage, better known as Nicki Minaj.
Ah.
She was born in Trinidad.
Really?
Yep.
She's a Trini, huh?
Trinidadian born American rapper and songwriter. She,
freaks.
Born in St. James, Trinidad and Tobago. She was raised in South Jamaica, Queens, New York. And she first came out with Young Money Entertainment. She signed up with them, a signing contract. Her first single did come out in 2007, but she didn't sign until 2009. Then she came out with the Pink Friday in 2010. That was her debut album. Everybody knows the famous Anaconda, of course. And then she was also a judge in 2013, American Idol. So
yeah, that was entertaining.
It was. her and Mariah, they did go back and forth quite a bit, yeah. So they said she has. She did a rendition of Maya Angelou's classic Central Still I Rise as part of A&E's Shining a Light, a concert for progress on race in America. That airs on November the 20th. Also, the concert will kick off an A&E network campaign to confront issues of race and promote unity and progress on racial equality. Inspired by the response of the Mother Emanuel family members in Charlestown. So, also, she is also on the American Music Awards. Sunday night, she was on the American Music Awards on Sunday night also. She's won numerous awards. She was the first female artist included on MTV's annual Hottest MC list, the most influential female rapper of all time. Minaj was previously known for her colorful costumes and wigs. She's downplayed it, though. She's really kind of conservative now. She's
maybe with the colored hair.
She also has endorsements with Adidas, MAC Cosmetics, and Pepsi. Wow. She has won 4 American Music Awards, plus more, 3 MTV Video Music Awards, 3 MTV Europe Music Awards, 10 BET Awards, 4 Billboard Music Awards, and Billboard's Women in Music 2011 Rising Star Award.
She's doing her thing.
Yeah, I saw that gown that she was almost wearing on the American Music Awards.
You're just jealous, Red One.
I'm not jealous. I just said I saw that gown she was almost wearing. It looked good on her.
Mm-hmm. Also, a few movie notes. The Hunger Games Part 2 came out.
The trilogy.
This past weekend, the box office franchise, science fiction franchise, debuting at $101
million. Wow. Just over the weekend?
Yep, they still weren't happy. They were projected to make 120 for the first one in 2013. The Hunger Games: Catching Fire grossed 158 mil.
They're just being greedy now.
I think so. I think you're right.
They want it all.
They said they made it up overseas 147 million.
Yeah, whatever.
And they say Lionsgate, you know, they're backing this particular project, and they spent $200 million. To make it and to market the film. So they've gotten their money just about double back, really.
Of course.
Well, they have that tie-in on that commercial with, what is that, with Hunger Games and...
Pepsi or something? It's something that...
I thought it was a car or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's some major tie-in
they
have going on.
They linked with somebody.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember now what it is. I thought it was a car, one of the car companies.
And they're just greedy, you know, they're just greedy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize they've forgotten the whole concept of, you know, just make money and keep it moving. It's just a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they wanted to be a franchise, I guess, like Star Wars.
They can forget that.
I know, that's right. One last memorable note, the filming has officially begun on Wonder Woman the movie.
Yay!
It debuts in 2017 in June, summer of 2017.
Okay. Did they say who's playing Wonder Woman yet?
Let's see. Got it.
They need to get that big sexy white girl back. What was her name?
Linda Carter.
Shit.
Oh, my gosh. Well, at least it could be Wonder Woman's grandmother.
Yes.
Yeah, but she was big and sexy as hell.
Gail Goddard. I don't know. Yeah, Gail, she got it.
Yeah, Gail got it. Okay. All right. Well, go ahead, Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
Oh, that's rough.
Big, sexy white woman, Wonder Woman.
Oh, I wonder if she's still going to have her invisible plane.
Mm-mm-mm. Probably so. Mm-mm.
I'm not mad at
her. What's her name again?
Linda Carter.
Linda Carter.
Uh-oh. No. All right. That's cocktail time.
Woo!
I got an interesting one. Tonight.
Okay.
You guys might take note. This is called the La Mela.
Cheers.
La Mela.
La Mela. Cheers. All right.
It's the La Mela. You guys are going to take notes on this. One part of Maker's Mark bourbon. We're doing a lot of bourbon drinks
now. Oh, a brown drink.
Make it mark, yeah, that's
good. Uh-huh, that's some good stuff.
Good stuff.
You know, they talked about one time watering it down. Folks was in an uproar.
Mark and make it mark?
Yep, they said, no way, we don't mind paying the price tag. We don't mind.
Mark and mark has that top on it that looks like wax.
Red wax.
It's melted down.
Mm-hmm. I know, but I've seen it. Yeah.
I heard about it.
Yeah, I think I saw one on commercial one time.
Well, red wine told me.
Okay. Well, you guys are going to like this La Mela. One part of Maker's Mark bourbon. A quarter part of something called St. Elizabeth's All Spice Dram. D-R-A-M. That is a rum-based liqueur. Has flavors of berry, clove, cinnamon, nutmeg, and pepper.
Exotic.
Yes. 3/4 part of the Kuiper Amaretto. That has hints of almond, vanilla, and citrus flavors. 1.5 parts of rosemary apple cider. 1 dash of rosemary cider maple syrup mix. And garnished rosemary spread. So, we combine all the ingredients in the shaker over ice and shake vigorously.
Hey, shake.
Serve over ice in a rocks glass and garnish with a sprig of rosemary. So the rosemary cider syrup is considered a rosemary cider vinegar and maple mix. So place 6 sprigs of fresh rosemary in a quart of apple cider and steep for 48 hours. Combine rosemary cider with an equal part of maple syrup.
Apple cider, not apple cider vinegar. Okay.
All right, so that's called the La Mela.
It sounds almost healthy. The rosemary and the apple cider.
Oh, you're going to grow something.
And the clove and all of that.
Yeah, you're going to grow something. Like grow another ear or eye.
Healthy. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I like that.
Check it out on our website.
Yeah, we'll have to update that. I like that.
All right, now. The La Mela.
Okay. Now, who do we have on the Kiss It list tonight?
Well, I guess it's our usuals. Roger Cadell, we know that for sure. Macy's.
You got Donald Trump. Ben Carson.
Donald Trump for dogging that black man at his little thing in Alabama. You'd think he would go to Alabama to make a difference. And he done went there and turned Alabama to an uproar, knowing he's a Jersey guy.
Okay.
How you gonna take you as Alabama and act like you wanna be the new, you know, Governor Wallace?
He's special.
You know, just choking a black man because he said Black Lives Matter, saying you're gonna take over my thing. Come on, Donald Trump. This ain't, people ain't went into a real poll and voted for nothing. All these polls you leading in is these little invisible CNN polls that people just talk about. Ain't nobody pulled no levers yet.
I'm adding Ben Carson. Okay. Dr. Ben Carson.
That's your boy.
Because now he's saying that not only does he think that we should have a database of all the Muslims in the United States, but he thinks everybody should be in a database. And to Dr. Carson, I would just say, do you mean aside from the Census Bureau database?
Or Facebook.
And the Social Security Administration database?
Facebook did a stuff.
Well, I'm just talking about the government-controlled ones.
Well,
I don't mean the ones
privately
owned.
If you're on Facebook, the police in your local area, if you gave your own name on Facebook, the police in your local area got your name.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, he's talking about having everybody in there. I mean, that sounds a lot like the whole Big Brother situation. And, I mean, if we're already in not Secret Service, some people are in that too, but the Social Service, Social Security, and you got, who else, IRS, you got, what else? I mean, there's a lot of databases that United States citizens are already in.
Facebook.
I don't know what he's proposing.
Right.
Does he not know that some of these already exist?
I don't think he
Either way, stuff. Dr. Carson, you're on the Kiss It list.
And open your eyes when you talk for a change.
Yeah, really.
Of course, you
got
to rip
I got the American Music Awards for being lousy this year. Man, it was like a hodgepodge of B performers. You know, I think that the young lady that does our theme song, Lena Chanel, should have definitely been on the American Music Awards this year because some of the acts on air this year were horrible.
That's right.
And she could outdid all of them.
Shout out to Lena Chanel.
Shout out Lena Chanel.
Shout out to Lena Chanel.
I wish you would have been on the American Music Awards because your girl, what's her name, J-Lo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Overrated.
Jenny from the Block.
No, I've seen a lot better asses than that.
Uh-oh.
You know, boy. Jenny from the Block. Anyway, the Hunger Games are being greedy. Greedy as hell. They want all the money. You know, share the wealth. You know what I mean? My goodness, it's Hollywood. There's enough money to go around. I don't think one movie should be making all the money. If that just shows a true conspiracy. But you know the sad part about it? That camp will eventually implode itself. Because whenever there's greed and whenever there's dominance in the world, there's fighting within.
Mm-hmm.
That never fails. So the I think this is their last show anyway.
Yeah,
why?
Because
they all scratch each other's eyeballs out. They all scratch each other's eyeballs out. That just goes with any big family or anything else. Big production, big trilogies. Ain't nobody getting along because everybody's greedy. Everybody's fucking everybody. Everybody's cheating on everybody. Everybody's hanging out with everybody. It's just a mess. Okay? So we all know the inside. But the Hunger Games, you're on the kissing list. The embryo lady who wants the embryos kept, you know, she's divorced from the man, still want to keep the embryos. You divorced the man. Okay? You ain't involved with him no more. It's his sperm cells. He has just as much right as you do. So you need to take those sperm cells and flush them down the toilet with that goldfish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I disagree.
Red Wine disagrees, but what are you going
to
do?
I'd like to add the people that were rioting in Zimbabwe over the Mr. Ugly contest.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could have just split that $500 prize between the two ugly men instead of them rioting like that.
Oh, the Mr. Ugly contest?
Yeah, Mr. Ugly.
Good idea. Yeah,
you know, it's like both of y'all are ugly. So split the money.
Oh.
And Snoop Doggy Dog, hope that you help buy those turkeys and then just come there and give them out. Come on, brother. I think that weed's slowing you down, man. You need to go to the store and buy some turkeys. It says Snoop Doggy was Saul helping people give out turkeys.
He was helping distribute
and taking pictures.
Come on, brother.
Yeah, somebody from Inglewood, call us and tell us what's
up with
that. Pay the
tab. Okay? And Red Wine for just being her.
Oh, whatever. Also, to all the people that got caught up in Black Friday, if you are out there pushing and shoving and blacking people's eyes,
mm-hmm.
stepping on people's feet, snatching things out of other people's hands because you didn't get to it, you're on the Kiss It list.
Mm-hmm.
And to all of the stores who opened and started Black Friday on Thanksgiving night, you're on the Kiss It.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Macy get a double one.
Anybody got anybody working on Thanksgiving, your ass is on the Kiss It list because, you know, people should be with their families, whoever, having a good time, not stand up behind some kind of counter trying to sell a damn bottle of perfume, please.
Yeah.
Give me a break. That crap can wait until
some
Friday.
Electronic thing.
We got something for you.
Kiss my entire ass. Kiss my Irish ass. You better kiss my Irish ass!
This world, kiss my ass.
Kiss my ass.
You can just kiss my ass.
Yeah, we're back here at the Pajama Party. I'm one of your hosts, Papa Didi. I'm here with Kettle.
Hello.
And Red Wine. Mm-hmm. And the Pajama Party is every Friday night show where we give it up. We inform you, let you know what's happening. You should tune in. You should tell a friend to bring a friend because we're letting you know what's happening. We talk about everything from race to religion to embryos to weird news. Everything that's happening has got to do with anything. We don't care. No holds barred. And a whole nine. And as we sign off for tonight, we hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving, a wonderful Black Friday, and that you be safe. And just do what you need to do to keep yourself right. My name is Papa Didi. Thank you everybody for tuning in and listening in. And get us now while we're on the ground floor, because when we become millionaires, you're going to buy tickets to see us. So get it while you can just dial in. At the while, you're gonna need a subscription to get with us. So get us while you can dial in, because I'm blowing up. I got the damn fuse lit already. What you got, Red One?
Yes, that's wonderful. I just want to say shout out to everybody who tuned in this week. Hope you have a wonderful holiday. Go visit your people. Go do something to help somebody. You know, let's not make this holiday all about us, about yourself, but do something to help somebody else. You know, just pick somebody, find somebody, and help them out. Shout out to Callie. Shout out to Lena Chanel, Lynette Chichelle. Shout out to Florida. Who else? Shout out to Philly.
Mr. Lowe,
our bartender. We miss you. Yeah. Shout out to D.C., Maryland, Virginia. Who else did we forget? Louisiana.
NC.
Pittsburgh, who's still MIA.
DC.
Shout out to Pittsburgh, that's MIA. And everybody in between. Atlanta, GA, shout out to you. We appreciate you all so much. Happy Thanksgiving holiday to you. Hope you didn't overdo it on Turkey Day. What's your last word, Kevin?
Well, that's what I was going to say about Pittsburgh. We're looking for you, Mr. Pittsburgh. We miss you. Also, go on our website, www.apajamaparty.com, and you can check us out here every Friday night. And also check out our drink menu. Our drink
cocktail of the week.
Yeah. Maybe I'd have had too many cocktails. The one we talked about is called the Lamella.
Lamella.
Check it out. The rip-a-pop-a-pop-a-pop-a-pop.
Ay-ay-ay-ay.
Okay, no more for you, Red Wine.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for listening, and have a good holiday. Good night.
See you next Friday. Say good night, Papa Didi.
Good night, everybody.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I bid you farewell, arrivederci, sayonara, and all that sort of jazz.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Well, good night.
Yabiko, sana.
I regret to announce this is the end. I'm going now.
Good night, and good luck.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Now give me a kiss and say good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Goodbye now. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you for attending our show. And good night.
Put on a party.